Good evening, everybody, and welcome again to Grace Community Wednesday Night Service. Last week we had VBS, so we skipped a week. VBS was amazing. We thought we were going to have like 40 kids. We wound up having like 95, I think, was the busiest night. That's a whole lot of kids, but it went really good. I've got a lot to cover tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and we'll just jump right in. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to get up here and share your word. I just pray that you'd move me out of the way, Lord, and that every word that is said comes from you. And like Josh just said, Lord, I pray that every heart will be open to receive this. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to apply these things to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you've been here, you know for about the last month, before VBS, we've been talking about the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've been talking about the things in our lives that keep us from experiencing that joy. You know, the things that rob us of our joy. And we've been talking about ways that we can make changes in our lives so that we can experience the joy that God truly does have for us and live the lives that God wants us to live. So far, we've talked about our finances, you know, how we need to live below our means so we're not stressed out trying to pay for things that we can't afford or things that we don't even need. And we've talked about getting a Sabbath day established in our lives so we can get the rest that we need so we're not so physically and mentally and spiritually exhausted all the time. And I finally got that instituted in my life, like 2 weeks ago, and it's made a huge difference just in 2 weeks. So if you haven't done that yet, I would seriously recommend doing that. And we talked about managing our time better so that we're not overwhelmed and stressed out by having too much on our plate all the time. And, you know, where we should be spending our time and who we should be spending our time with. And the last time, the week before VBS, we talked about our character and how we, you know, we should model our character after the character of Jesus. And how we could make changes in ourselves so that we could be more like Jesus. You know, we talked about being humble and truthful and honest and genuine and transparent and trustworthy and loyal. And how, you know, if we develop those things in our lives, we could develop integrity in our lives. And be the man or the woman of God that he called us to be. But the last thing that we talked about last time was love. You know, that's a characteristic that Jesus is most famous for. And how we really can't do any of those things without love. You know, love is a fruit of the Spirit. The world will tell you love is this and love is that and love's a lot of things. But true, pure, undefiled love comes through the Holy Spirit. And this week, that was what I had planned on preaching about, was love, because there's a whole lot more to it than what we had time to cover last time. But I guess it was about Saturday night, God changed that on me, and he started showing me that all these changes are good, but none of them will work, or none of them will ever happen unless we learn how to be obedient to him and to his word. You know, be obedient to his Holy Spirit when he speaks to us. You know, we can make all the plans of things that we want to change and even pinpoint the areas in our life that we need to change. But if we don't put it into practice and be obedient and actually do the things that God is telling us to do, then nothing changes. You know, in James chapter 1 and verse 22, God tells us, he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And, you know, a lot of times we think we're fooling other people, but in the end, it don't affect them. It affects us. We're fooling ourselves if we know the truth, but we don't do it. And especially right now, I see so many people struggling with areas in their lives, you know, and we pray and we seek God about these things, And God always answers. You know, he always provides an answer if you truly seek his guidance. He always provides an answer, either through his word or through somebody else. You know, no matter what you're going through, he will give you guidance if you're truly seeking him. In James chapter 1, 2 and verse 5, you know, it says, if you lack wisdom, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. And he will not rebuke you for asking. It's not that God doesn't answer us. Most of the time, God's answer is loud and clear. We're just not willing to do it God's way. Or we don't believe what God is saying. You know, I'm not willing to make whatever changes it's going to take in our lives to be obedient. You know, I struggled with that for years. You know, I'd be going through a tough situation most of the time that I got myself into, and I'd pray and I'd ask God for help, and he always answered me, most of the time, almost immediately. And he would say, okay, the first thing you need to do is stop this. You know, but I wouldn't stop it. I wouldn't listen. I'd hear him, but I wouldn't obey him. Or he'd say, the first thing you need to do is start doing this, you know, if I wasn't doing something. But I wouldn't do that. You know, he would tell me what to do, and I just completely would not do it. I wasn't willing to give up whatever he was telling me to give up, or I wasn't willing to do whatever he was asking me to do. And, you know, the Bible says God speaks to each and every one of us through our conscience. In Romans chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and this is talking about lost people and believers, so nobody is exempt from this. It says, even Gentiles who do not have God's written law, that would be unbelievers, so that they know his law when they instinctively obey it, even without having heard it. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. So God puts it inside of us. We know right from wrong. It's just we have a problem choosing to do what is right. The Bible's really clear about we know right from wrong. And like I said, that includes lost people and believers. In the back of our minds, you know, if we're in a tough situation, our conscience most of the time is telling us what the right thing is to do. I know it did for me anyway. Before I would even ask God or somebody else for advice, or before I took it to God in prayer, most of the time I could hear that little voice in my head through my conscience, God's voice, telling me what I needed to do. You know, what was the right thing to do. And that just wasn't what I wanted to hear. So I would just drown out that voice. And I think I can speak for a lot of us. I know I'm speaking for myself. I would just try to figure another way around it so I could do it my way. And, you know, I didn't, when I finally got honest with myself, you know, I didn't want to change. I just wanted the help and the relief I needed without having to change anything about myself so I could be obedient. Obedience takes change in our lives. And it, like we talked about a week before last, change is painful. You know, most of the time it's not something we enjoy, but it is something we need. But I think a lot of people are just like me. I don't think we're so much looking for the answers, but we're looking for the answers that we want to hear. I think that's why a lot of people won't stay in one place. You know, they won't stay at one church. They hop around until they find one that suits their needs instead of making the changes in their life that they need to conform to God's word instead of the other way around. You know, we're talking about the conscience, and God gives us the answer in our head. God already knows our needs. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 65 and verse 24, God says, I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, I'll go ahead and answer their prayers. That's where that little voice comes from. God knows your needs. He's speaking to you through your conscience before you before you ever pray, before you ever ask him anything, he already knows what's going on. He just wants you to come to him with it and put your faith in him, put your trust in him. Just like I said a minute ago, when I was going through something, I knew the answers to my questions a long time before I was obedient to them. You know, we talked 2 weeks ago about love is a choice. So is obedience. Obedience is a choice too. You know, just like we have to choose to love somebody, no matter how bad they treat us or what they do to us, we have to be willing to obey God no matter what it costs us. You know, we come up with all kinds of excuses not to. You know, like, but if I do this, they won't be my friends anymore. Or if I do this, my wife won't understand. Or if I tell the truth about this, it's going to cost me everything I have, you know. God will never, ever do anything to harm you. You know, it might seem like it sometimes, and you might have to give up things you don't want to give up. But obeying God, he will never do anything that will harm you. And I don't know why we think we know better than he does a lot of times, but for me, I'm speaking for myself. A lot of times, I thought I knew more than God did. And it always ends up in destruction when we're disobedient. So if God is telling you to do something, trust him and obey him, and he will do amazing things in your life. Every time God tells you to do something, the enemy is going to give you a million reasons why that won't work. In those times, I know everybody's felt like this, when you feel like you got the little devil on one shoulder, a little angel on your other shoulder, and they're both telling you what to do. You know, we know instinctively what right from wrong is. So we have to fight through that and be listening to what is right and be willing to make the changes we need to and to trust God. And he will make the changes in your life. I found out that as long as I trusted him and I was obedient, I didn't have to make the changes. God makes them for you. He makes the changes in your life that you can't make, that we're not capable of making without the Holy Spirit. And I know just about every week I talk about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. But I'm telling you, those are my go-to verses. You got to trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. You have to seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You know, King James says, acknowledge God in everything you do. And if you do acknowledge God in all you do, he really does give you the guidance. You know, he will show you the right way, but he won't make you go the right way. God don't make you do anything. Two of the biggest things that I learned in my life, and I'm confident this is for everybody and not just myself, that God will and does ask you to do when we come to him, especially when we're having a hard time being obedient. God will ask you to forgive and to confess. Those are two of the hardest things that anybody ever has to do. You know, just like love has to be unconditional, or it's not love at all. You know, if you don't love somebody unconditionally and they change, then, you know, you could not love them anymore. It has to be unconditional. No matter what they do, you have to choose, I'm gonna love them anyway. And forgiveness has to be unconditional too. It has to be the exact same way that love is. Because that's how God showed his love for us. He forgave us while we were yet sinners. He didn't ask us to straighten up and do it. He gave us unconditional forgiveness. And, you know, we can't have limits or boundaries on what we will forgive. We have to come to a place where we trust God enough that no matter what anybody has done to us, that we will forgive them in advance. Trusting God will make it right. We don't have to condone what they did to us. You know, we don't have to act like what they did wasn't wrong, or it didn't make us mad, or it didn't hurt us, because it does hurt. And, you know, the hurt is real, the anger is real, the the damage that they do to us is real. But I think that our relationship with God should be more important than getting even with somebody else. You know, it should be important enough that we want to be in right standing with Him, and we want to be forgiven too. You know, I've shared these verses with you before in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says that if you'll forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, I tried to do a study on unforgiveness. So I got out my Strong's Concordance, and I was going to look up everywhere in the Bible the word unforgiving was. Unforgiveness, unforgiving, you know, any form of that word. It's not in the Bible once. Not one time is the word unforgiveness in the Bible. It is a choice, like this verse says, to refuse to forgive. So that, as far as the Bible's concerned, there is no word for unforgiveness. It's a flat-out refusal to forgive. And like I've been saying, that's a choice that we make. Just like we have to choose to love, we have to choose to forgive. And we have to trust God that whatever damage, you know, somebody's done to you, God will help you through it. You know, He's not going to expect you to just say, okay, I'm fine with it, I forgive them. He knows they did damage. But He's going to be there to help you make things right. He don't just leave you with feelings that you can't get rid of. And He will restore to you anything that that's taken away from you. And the only way that we can forgive unconditionally is to realize that behind every bad thing or everything, you know, every evil thing that somebody's done to us or said about us or whatever it is, it's the enemy. In the end, it's not that person, it's the enemy. And I wrote this down, and I really liked that. It made a lot of sense to me. Is that I told myself, I can forgive anybody for getting attacked by Satan and losing the fight. And the reason I believe that makes it so much easier is because we've all done that. You know, I can forgive anybody for getting attacked by Satan and losing the fight. I've lost a few of those fights myself. We all have, if we're honest. And we've needed forgiveness for the thing that we didn't mean to do or would have never done if we hadn't lost the battle to the enemy. You know, there's nobody in here or nobody watching online that has never lost a battle with the enemy and did something to somebody else that, you know, you didn't mean to do or that you never would have done. You know, Paul understood that. That's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. You know, we wrestle against the devil himself, mighty powers in dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So we have to realize it's not people that we're against. The only difference between them and us is they're in a battle with the devil and they're losing. That's why people do those things. That's why I did the things that I did. That's why any of us do those things. So when we look at it in that light, it's pretty easy to forgive somebody when you know they're getting attacked themselves because they would have never done those things. So we have to choose to forgive. And when you choose to forgive, you know, I had a hard time with it too. But if you ask God to show you how, that'll change your life. It truly will. It changed mine. You'll see it from God's point of view, and it's easy to forgive. The next one, I already told you, was confession. And confession is just as hard, but it's just as important if we're ever going to be truly obedient to God. You know, the last time we talked about, you know, in our characters, we need humility and honesty and being transparent. And it takes all those things to truly confess, because the moment the word confession gets in your mind and you start thinking about confessing these things, the enemy's going to hit you hard. He's going to hit you with pride. He's going to hit you with shame. You know, he's going to hit you with the same millions of reasons why you shouldn't forgive. He's got just as many why you shouldn't confess, because he knows there's freedom in confession. He'll have you believing lies like, I can't confess this stuff, or, you know, it'll ruin my good name. You know, I learned the hard way. If your name is a lie, if you're not truly who you present yourself to be, then your name isn't any good to start with. Like I said, I wasn't fooling God for sure. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 23, verses 27 and 28, he says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but filled with, on the inside, with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity." So when we're lying to other people and we're lying to ourselves and we're presenting ourselves as something that we're not, you know, like I said, we can fool some people, but you'll never fool God. God already knows who you are. You know, you're not fooling him, and sooner or later, everybody else will know the real you too. You know, it's just a matter of time. Nobody can hide those things forever. They will come out in the end. You know, without confession and being transparent, you'll never have a long-lasting relationship. Because as soon as somebody gets close to your secrets and you think they're going to find you out, then you'll cut them off and you'll move on to somebody new before they do figure you out. And you'll stay with them until they get close to figuring out who you are. And then you'll leave them and go on to the next person. You know, it's just a repetitive cycle. It'll happen over and over and over through your whole life, and you'll never have a close relationship with anybody. You know, I was talking with somebody this morning about Jesus coming back when Jesus returns. And we were talking about all these things that we worry about all the time, you know, my reputation and this and that, and all those things that we worry about just over and over and over. When Jesus does come back, none of those things are going to matter. None of them. The only thing that's going to matter is our relationship with Jesus Christ and whether it's real or not. You know, that should make you take a good look at your relationship with Jesus, because, you know, we may think we're fooling him while we're here. We might be fooling other people, but when he does come back, or we die and we're standing before him face to face, you know, there are no secrets from God. He knows all of them. And if we truly love the people in our lives like we say we do, you know, we wouldn't have any secrets from them either. We can't ever truly believe somebody else loves us, and they can't truly believe that you love them unless they know everything about us. You know, if they know everything about you and they still choose to love you anyway, then you know they love you. But as long as you have a secret that you're keeping from them, they don't even know you. They love the version of you that you're showing them. So in the back of your mind and your heart, you're always going to wonder if they really love you, or would they really love you if they truly knew who you were. So we can't accept somebody else's love if we have those secrets, because, you know, we'll always have that fear if they won't love me anymore if they find me out. So the only way we can experience the true love that we're all looking for, I mean, I don't care who you are, everybody's looking for somebody to love them, is to be transparent. And then we'll know people love us for who we are, because what you see is what you get, you know, when we're completely honest and transparent, and they know us for who we really are. And I found out too, you know, when I finally just started being myself and confessed all the lies and the junk in my life, there is a tremendous amount of peace. You can finally just relax. You're not trying to hide anything, and just being who you are. You know, if you've got secrets, you're always going to have anxiety. You'll never be able to completely rest. You're always going to be waiting on the ball to drop. You'll always have anxiety until you get that stuff confessed. And the fear of being exposed will just eat you alive. You know, there's a lot of freedom in confession. I was talking with a guy Monday, and I've been seeing him on Monday nights, and he was telling me he went to a church somewhere up next to Greenville, but he had done some things. He's getting his life straightened out now, but he had broke in the church and stole things from the church, stole money from the church and all that stuff, and God was laying it on his heart. You know, it was convicting him really bad because he wanted to call his old pastor and tell him what he had done. He wanted to confess and get that stuff off his chest. So I shared this verse here with him. I first heard this verse at a Johnny Hunt men's conference like 6 years ago. And this was the verse that led me to finally confessing. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, it says, "People who conceal their sins will not prosper." And that's in any aspect. If you conceal your sins and you live in a fake life, you'll never have love, you'll never have peace, you'll never have joy, you'll never have the things that you're looking for. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. The enemy, you know, he wants to tell us, you know, if you confess all that stuff, then you're going to get condemnation, you're going to get shame, you're going to get judgment, you're going to get all that stuff. And you will get that from some people, but you won't get it from God. And you won't get it from godly people that actually love you. I shared that verse with him, and he did. The very next day, he called his old pastor, and he told him that stuff. And he said he found all kinds of freedom in that. And he got forgiveness straight away. The guy was nice to him. And, you know, the whole time he had been worried about that, all he had to do was confess it. And he got freedom from it. I know what that feels like, so I try to share that with everybody that I can. So there is freedom in confession. Not just to obey God, but to be ourselves and to be who God wants us to be. You know, God didn't create us to be fake. He created you to be you, not to impress other people. I think a lot of us waste our lives trying to impress other people. I know I wasted a lot of mine not just trying to impress them, but trying to fool them. You know, we quote these verses and we teach them to our children all the time. As a matter of fact, I think it was one of the classes we just had in Bible school. But sometimes I wonder if we really believe it ourselves. In Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, God says, or David said, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." You know, King James says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. If we actually believe that, we wouldn't be ashamed of ourselves. We wouldn't be trying to be somebody that we're not. We'd just be ourselves and be happy that God made us, and he made us the way that he did. So, you know, I had to ask myself that question. Do I really believe those verses, or do I just think they're for a kid's class, something nice to teach the kids? God really did fearfully and wonderfully make us. He made us the way he wants us. But the only way we're going to be able to do any of these things, to forgive, to confess, or obey any of those things, is by doing, if you were here Sunday, or if you watched online Sunday and listened to Josh's message, he preached on this out of Ephesians 4. I'm going to read verses 22 through 24. We have to do these things, or we'll never be able to confess, we'll never be able to obey, or we'll never be able to forgive. We have to throw off our old sinful nature and our former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, we have to let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes. And we have to put on our new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, I've been telling you for months now, we can't do this stuff. We are unable to do this stuff unless we receive the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide us. If we're not letting the Holy Spirit guide us, our sin nature is guiding us. And so we have to surrender to Jesus. And we have to be led by the Spirit. And if you still haven't surrendered your life to Christ, you'll never be obedient to God. If you're still being controlled by your old sin nature, you won't be obedient. You know, not to God anyway. You'll still be obedient, but you'll still be obedient to your sin nature. You'll still be making choices and decisions to satisfy your flesh. We'll make choices and decisions to protect our reputation. We'll make choices and decisions just to please other people. You know, we'll take God completely out of the equation. We'll be pleasing our flesh, we'll be protecting our reputation, and we'll be pleasing other people. The only way you'll ever be obedient to God is to make Him number one in your life. He has to be number one. He has to be above everybody and everything else. You know, if we just trust Him and truly trust Him and put Him first and build our lives around Him instead of just trying to place Him and here and there, wherever we have a hole in our life that we can fit Him, you know, where it's convenient. If we make God the center and build our lives around Him, then God will show us how to be obedient to Him. I thought it was impossible for me. I really did. But all you have to do is surrender to Him and let Him guide you. And even when you don't understand it, just be obedient. We have to seek Him in all we do. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, that's what it's talking about. We have to, King James says, diligently seek Him. But it says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So we have to sincerely seek God in everything we do, like we just talked back in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Acknowledge Him in everything we do. You know, we seem like we tend to put everything else in our lives first in front of God, especially if we're going through a hard time, and I never understood that. It seemed like the harder the times are, the more we focus on that instead of God. It should be the other way around. The harder things get, the more our focus should grow on God, especially when we're going through a hard time. You know, I ask people all the time that are going through a hard time, you know, why ain't you been coming to church? And almost every time they say, I'm dealing with some hard stuff right now, and I'm just seeking God. And I did the same thing, you know, and it makes no sense to me. You would think if we're seeking God, church would be a really good place to look for Him. But I did that myself. You know, when things got bad, I would avoid church. I'd avoid godly people. And that's the enemy. That's our old sinful nature leading us when we do those things. So if you're looking for God, you know, church is a really good place to look for Him. That's one of the biggest tricks the enemy has, is to convince you, just like he convinced me, that when things are hard, you need to avoid church and you need to avoid God's people. He knows that when you get isolated and we get away from church, you know, where we can hear the word of God being preached and where we can get around our church family where we can get the help we need, get the advice that we need. He knows if he can get us to isolate and separate ourselves from the body of Christ that we're supposed to be a part of, that we'll go back to our old ways of coping with stuff, you know, just like we used to. And we do, you know. It says in Proverbs, it's like a fool, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. And I've done that I don't know how many times. So we have to recognize the patterns of the enemy. And when he starts telling us to isolate, we need to fight through it. You know, it is a fight. You have to fight through it. Just like we was talking about the little devil on your shoulder and the little angel. You need to fight through it and go the right way. Even when we don't feel like it, show up for church or go show up for group. And even when we don't feel like sharing in a group, we need to share. We need to get those things out because that's the only way we find freedom. Obedience sometimes is not easy. It's hard. But it does get easier. The longer you're obedient to God, the more, you know, the more natural it becomes for you. And the more your faith builds, the stronger your faith gets, the quicker you are to obey because you trust God. You learn to trust him over time. You know, he's never failed me, and he never will. You start believing those things. So you start living like you believe them. You know, if we believe something, that's the way we live. So we have to seek God first. The Bible tells us that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. You know, we want to focus on our problems and our to-do list and all these things. But he says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. I believe that verse because he showed it to me. It's came true in my life so many times. And those verses are real. We just have to believe them and we have to be obedient to them. We have to trust God that he will take care of all those things. I was talking with a guy just last night, you know, and we were having a discussion. I told him when we are seeking God, we need to get in God's territory. You know, we need to get in places where we know he's going to be. Like we just said, we know he's going to be in church. We know we're going to be around like-minded believers in church or a small group. We know there's going to be godly people in a small group. Or just get around some other believers. You don't have to be in church or in a small group, but we need to surround ourselves with other believers. You know, we can't say that we're seeking God and continue to put ourselves in the enemy's territory and think God's going to protect us there. You know, I've done that to myself numerous times. And I'd lie to myself, well, I'm going to go over here to my old friends and I'm gonna witness to them. I'll seek God over there. And the whole time I was deceiving myself. You know, I knew I would wind up drunk. I knew I would wind up back in trouble. But we deceive ourselves. Like we talked a few weeks ago, it says in Jeremiah, our hearts are wicked. You know, we don't even know our own hearts. That's why it's important to stay around other believers. When we're weak, they'll help us. They'll encourage us to do what's right. But if we go into enemy territory, you know, start going to places that we know we shouldn't go or get around the people that we don't need to be around. We know they're not godly people and they don't live godly lives. When we choose to go around them, then we're on his territory. And that's very unsafe. That's when we start doing things that we know we shouldn't be doing. You know, like for me, it would be drinking, or if you're on drugs, it don't matter what it is. You'll wind up doing the very things that you know you shouldn't be doing. Like I said a minute ago, we'll go right back to our old coping skills. You know, I can learn about God at home. I do it all the time. We can stay at home and we can grow in our knowledge of Jesus. We can grow in our knowledge of God. But when I'm really needing help or when I'm needing advice and when I'm truly seeking God, I need to get around his people. You know, I told you before, if I'm depressed, I can't cheer myself up. A depressed person can't cheer up a depressed person. If I'm angry, I don't calm myself down. The more I talk to myself, the angrier I get. I have to get around somebody else that has the Spirit of God in them at that time. You know, just because I'm saved, it don't mean I walk in the Spirit all the time. Everybody has bad days. But we have to we have to get to the place where we admit those bad days to ourselves. And we need to get around somebody that's having a good day and let them rub off on us. You know, we've got to get around His people. When I'm having a bad day, I make it a point to get where I know God is. You know, some of y'all might remember a couple of months ago, I preached a message about getting into position, about how God's blessings are for everybody, but sometimes we don't put ourselves in a position to receive God's blessings. So that's what we have to do. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, this is what I'm talking about. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to Him and they're safe." So when we're having a bad day or we're going through something tough, having a hard time being obedient, we need to run to where we know God is. Run to people that we know are not having a bad day themselves or not going through a hard thing themselves. Go to somebody that we know can help us. And everybody knows those people. We just ignore them when we don't want to hear what they have to say. That's why it's a choice to be obedient. We have to choose to hear the hard things that people will tell us. You know, I remember when I was trying to quit drinking, or said I was trying to quit drinking, you know, I would always wait until I was drunk before I would call anybody and talk to them. And I think it was Josh that told me one time, he said it would work a whole lot better if you would call before you drank. And that's why I didn't call him, because I had planned on doing what was wrong before I even called anybody. We have to get to the point where we call when we see we're going to need help, before we get to the place where it's too late. And now we don't just need help. We need a hand up, and we need help out of the circumstances that we've created. And we've already, you know, messed up our relationships and did and said things to people that we can't take back. So when we're being tempted or going through a hard time, we need to go to where we know God is, or get around people that we know God is in. And we need to be obedient when He tells us what we need to do. I honestly believe that if we got in the position to receive God's blessings and to be obedient, like we just talked about, if we just make the effort to get dressed, to show up for church or small group or whatever it is, you know, even when we don't feel like it, because most of the time if we're having a bad day, we don't feel like going to church. We don't feel like listening to the advice that we need to listen to. But I think if we'll put forth that effort and actually get there, God will meet you there. And I think he'll speak to you. You know, I don't think it matters, you know, who's preaching or what the message is about. I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart during that message, or that devotion that you're reading that morning, or the small group that you go to that you didn't want to go to. Whatever it is, as long as you're seeking God, truly seeking Him, and you go make an effort to seek Him, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to meet you wherever you go. You know, when you're actually seeking Him. And He gives you the answers you're looking for while you're diligently seeking Him, like that verse said. One more point I want to make, and then we'll be done. Not only do we have to choose to love or to forgive or to confess, we also have to choose to believe that God is right. You know, just because we read the Bible, our actions prove what we believe, you know. And I know a lot of things that the Bible says, a lot of people don't agree with. They think they're right. I've done that, you know, before I came to Christ. So we have to choose to believe that God's word is true. We have to believe that God is right. And we have to make a choice to obey God's word. No matter how we feel, we have to know in our hearts that God is right. And if we're in opposition to him, then we're wrong. And we have to admit that we're wrong. You know, we have to choose not to argue with God. You know, if he says don't do it, you know, we don't need to debate with him and argue with him. If he says don't, then don't. You know, it should be that simple. If God says don't do it, I'm not going to do it. You know, I had to make that choice in my life about 6 years ago. I was arguing with God about everything. And then finally, I just said to myself, I'm not going to argue with God anymore. I'm going to do everything you tell me to do, and we'll see how that works out. And I was even a smart aleck about it. But I quit arguing with God. If he told me to do something, I didn't question him. I didn't argue with him. He told me to do it, I just did it. So if he says don't, I don't do it. If he tells me to do something, I do it. I don't ask him questions. I just do what he says. I don't think about it. I just do it. And when you know without a doubt what the right thing to do is, and you're still having a hard time doing it, you need to tell God about it. Tell him, I know this is the right thing to do, but I don't want to do it. I'm having a hard time doing it. And you need to tell somebody else about it too. Somebody that is mature in their faith that'll help you with it. And we need to tell God, you know, when we're having those thoughts, when we don't want to be obedient, because you're not always going to want to be obedient. But when you have those thoughts, you need to tell God you're having them, and you need to tell somebody else about it and have a discussion about it. Get it off your chest. That really does help. And God will help you, and his people will help you to do the right thing. I know that was a pretty long message with a whole lot of stuff in it, but crammed into a short period of time. But I know for a fact that if you do this stuff, if you do these things, you will be able to obey God the way you want to, and you'll start seeing that freedom, and you'll start seeing proof of God in your life. You'll start seeing proof of your faith getting stronger. And you'll start seeing that joy in your life that we've been talking about. You won't be walking around all the time wondering when things are going to get better and focused on all the negative in your life. You'll start actually experiencing some happiness and some joy in your life, like we've been talking about for the last month. You know, even if you need to go back, I know there's a lot in this message, so if you need to go back and watch it again on YouTube and write those verses down, or, you know, just take notes on it or whatever. For the first 2 years after I came to Christ, I had sticky notes everywhere. I had to remind myself every day, you know, don't do this, don't do that. You need to do this. You need to do that. You know, Paul calls us babes in Christ. We have to grow in our faith. You know, we don't come to God fully grown. So if you're new to Christ, or if you're just new to surrendering to Christ. You know, I wasn't new to Christ, but I was new to surrendering to him. If you're new to those things, it takes a little while to grow up. You know, you're not going to get it perfect the first day. You're going to fall. I don't know how many times I fell off the wagon and went back to drinking, but I didn't give up. I didn't give in and let the enemy completely destroy my life. I kept running back to God, because I knew that's where I needed to be. And if you'll continue to do that, eventually you'll get to the point where you can obey God. And then things will start moving in your life the way that you're wanting them to move. So you need to seek God in all those things and stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and he'll show you how to do these things that you can't do without him. You know, but the bottom line is, nobody can make your choices for you. But I do know from experience, obedience will lead you to where God wants you to be. And disobedience always, every time, leads us to destruction. You know, I can't count how many times that I was willfully disobedient and just watched my life fall apart. So you'd think we would learn from our mistakes, and I hope that's my prayer for everybody here and everybody online, and my prayer for myself, that I'll continue to be obedient to God so that I don't wind up like that ever again. So I got two verses I want to close with. I'll just read these and we'll be done. Matthew chapter 7, this is Jesus talking about being obedient. I'm going to read, or actually it's three verses, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in and torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." And, you know, that's a super straightforward warning from Jesus. If you do what I'm telling you, things will be good. You'll be able to weather the storms, you know, like the Cedars of Lebanon we talked about a couple of months ago. But if you don't do the things he says, you know, it's just a matter of time. It's not, it might fall apart. It could fall apart. It will fall apart. It's what God's word says. It will collapse with a mighty crash. And that is so true. So my prayer for everybody listening to this is that you would do what he says and be obedient and spare yourself and all the people in your lives, all the destruction that comes from being disobedient. And I really do hope that helps somebody. Like I said, I know there's a lot of stuff in there. If you couldn't catch it all of it, if I moved through it too quick or whatever, just go back and look at it on our YouTube page and, you know, write those verses down and study them for yourself. Make you some sticky notes and put them around to help yourself, because it really helped me a whole lot. But that's my message for tonight. And I'll go ahead and dismiss us in prayer and we'll be done. Thank y'all for coming out and thank y'all for tuning in. Father, I thank you for helping me to get up here and preach that message, Lord. It was not an easy one to preach. I know a lot of people, if they're not willing to receive those things, it'll produce anger in them. It'll produce just all kinds of different emotions in us, Lord. But I hope that they're willing to let your truth sink into their hearts, Lord. And I pray that you'd help them to see through the Holy Spirit the changes in the areas, Lord, that they need to be obedient in, the changes they need to make so that they can be obedient. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to do like your word says and to help each other, carry each other's burdens, Lord, and fulfill the law of Christ and to be the salt and the light that we're supposed to be. Father, we just thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.